Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I am your host, William Brigley. Come on in, pull up a chair, and sit down as I discuss the world of archaeology, anthropology, and other such fields, and how it relates to modern paganism. Hope you enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in and showing your support. The show wouldn't be a show if it wasn't for each and every one of you, our listeners. If you do like the show, and if you wish, you can also put a like on my Facebook page just by searching for Visions of the Past. I hope everyone has had a great holiday. Whether you were having a solstice ritual, or celebrating Christmas, or maybe practicing any one of the many ways to celebrate the holiday. Here on the network, we believe they are all equally valid. It's a time of joy, a time to rejoice, and to have fun. So I hope everyone had a great time. And here in our home, I celebrate the solstice myself. So what we do is we go out and buy a gift for the whole family on the day of the solstice. And this year we went out and bought a movie theater style popcorn maker, like one of those cart ones. It was something that everyone could enjoy. And then on Christmas Eve, we kept with an old family tradition of ours alive by opening one gift. And, of course, the rest was open Christmas morning. This is but one way you can incorporate the beliefs of everyone within a multi-faith family. I'm sure there are many other ways this can be done as well. It worked for us, and I'm sure different ways would work with you. So it was pretty good how everything worked out. And as a reminder, if you do miss one of the shows that air on the network, we host the archives on our website at spiritualunityradionetwork.org. As well, we post the links to our shows on our Facebook pages. And for our new listeners out there, all of the shows are also on iTunes. And, of course, we post a link to that on my page and the CERN page. And our archives are also available on the TuneIn website, and this includes a schedule of when the shows aired, and when you bring up the page, it will automatically play the last episode for you. You don't have to touch a thing. This is totally automated, like I said. And come by and check it out. Again, these different sites are just our way of reaching out to you, our listeners. People like different layouts and different interfaces, so we try and have a few customized versions to help our listeners with the look and feel and that sort of thing. Again, if you like our topics, please let your friends know. You are also more than welcome to leave comments on my page anytime you wish. I will also be providing links to the sources to where I obtained my information from with the archive on my Facebook page. So you can come by and check it out. And there's not only the sources where I had obtained my information from for the shows, but anything that kind of relates to modern or ancient paganism, archaeology, anthropology, those types of topics. I'll tend to post a link to those kind of articles on my page. So you can come by, check those out, keep up with the latest discoveries. And this gives you, the listener, the opportunity to not only view the information for my show, but maybe give you ideas and that for shows that you'd like to see in the future. And you can post those ideas on my page as well. And I'd also like to remind our listeners that the singers and bands that you hear each and every night on the network donate their music to us as well. So if you can, please try to support them. This is what these people do for a living. And they do give back to the communities in the form of creating more music. So it's always good to try and support these guys. As a reminder, if you'd like to join us in the chat room during the live shows, just visit Blog Talk Radio prior to the live broadcast and create a free account. It's that easy. Our hosts are always willing to interact with the listeners in the chat room. And if you're not in the chat room, you could be missing out on a lot. This is where our listeners are discussing their opinions live with the host. Sometimes it's the same topic. Other times it could be a whole conversation going on. You can rest assured that our hosts are always willing to interact with our listeners, myself included. During the song breaks, we are most often engaged in the chat room conversation that's going on. So if you wish, come by and check it out. It can get pretty interesting. Now, I know our most celebrated holiday is Samhain. But for tonight's topic, I thought it would be most appropriate with New Year's Eve coming up that we discuss the pagan history of the calendar year. We're going to venture back and discuss the names of the months, where they came from, and why there are a certain number of days in each of the calendar months. So what kind of New Year special would it be if we didn't kick things off with some music appropriate for the holiday? So we're going to play a little Jenna Green and her song, Green Man. Here it is. Stay tuned.
Full of life, the mother earth is beloved wife. Live and fly. There is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be, and it is so.
You're listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. Wow, Jenna Green's pretty good, isn't she? I always loved that song, Green Man. And you are listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. If you haven't been tuning in to tonight's show, we are currently discussing the history of the calendar year, the pagan history. And getting right into tonight's fact we're going to explore is why we have a calendar. One of the most amazing sites available to our ancient ancestors, and that we seem to not really have that much time for in our busy lives today, is the observance of the daytime and nighttime sky. The ancient compilers of the calendar attempted to record and to predict the passage of time. The only two measures of time available to these people were the day, obviously the space between two nights, and the month, the space between the new moons. The month is a well-adjusted length of time for recalling fairly recent events. A far more important slice of time is the year, a full circuit orbit of the Earth around the Sun. Crucial in human activities because its influence on seasons and crops. Of course, we know this. But the length of a year is exceptionally hard to measure. Primitive societies made do by counting the year by starting when leaves sprout on a particular tree or describing someone as having lived through a certain number of harvests. For the ancients, the only simple yet accurate way of measuring a year is in relation to the stars. Those structures, such as the passage grave at Newgrange, can record an annual position of the sun. The stars appear in the night sky at different times and places, depending on where the Earth is in its orbit around the sun. A star observed in a given place on the horizon at dawn, for example, will be there again exactly a year later. Egyptian temple priests paid very close attention to the stars, which enabled them to give the impression of predicting natural events. The best example is their use of Sirius, the dog star. It rises above the horizon just before dawn at the time of year when the all-important flooding of the Nile is about to occur. Observation of Sirius also enabled the Egyptians to become the first people to move from a lunar to a solar calendar. Having borrowed the concept Greeks, the original Roman calendar, believed to have been the first introduced by Romulus, the first ruler of Rome around 738 BCE, contained only 10 months, which left out 61 days during the midst of winter. The original names were Martius, Aprilis, Maia, Junius, Quintilis, Sextilis, September, October, November, and December. The month of March, known as Martius, was named after the Greek god Ares, and later reinterpreted by the Romans as Mars, the god of war, and agricultural guardian. Primarily, it was Roman legions that paid homage to this deity. In ancient Greek archaic and classical art, Ares is most often depicted wearing full armor and helmet and carrying a shield and spear. In this respect, he may appear indistinguishable from any other armed warrior. Sometimes he is shown riding his chariot pulled by fire-breathing horses. The Roman god Mars was given many of the attributes of Ares, although, as was typical of the Roman view of the gods, with less human qualities. Aprilis, or as we know it, April, is named after the Greek goddess Aphrodite and Venus to the Romans. Beautiful goddess Venus is probably most familiar from the armless statue known as the Venus de Milo, displayed at the Louvre in Paris. The goddess of love has an ancient history. Ishtar, Astarte, was the Semitic goddess of love. In Greece, this goddess was called Aphrodite and was worshipped especially on the islands of Cyprus and Kythera. Among mortals, the Greco-Roman goddess loved Adonis and Anchises. The Romans originally worshipped Venus as the goddess of fertility. Venus was the goddess not only of love but of beauty. So there were two important aspects to her and two main stories of her birth which actually belonged to Aphrodite. These are the facts that there were actually two different Aphrodites, one which was the daughter of Uranus, the other the daughter of Zeus and Dione. The first, called Aphrodite Urania, was the goddess of spiritual love. The second, Aphrodite Pandemos, was the goddess of physical attraction. In either aspect, we can see why her combined attributes would be worshipped. Next, we have Maia, or the month of May. To the Greeks, Maia was the eldest of the Pleiades, the seven nymphs of the constellation Pleiades. She was a shy goddess who dwelt alone in a cave near the peaks of Mount Kyllene in Acadia, where she secretly gave birth to a son by Zeus, the god Hermes. She also raised the boy Arcas in her cave, whose mother Callisto had been transformed into a bear. There is much mystery as to her independent Roman origins. However, to at least one Roman tradition, Maia embodied the concept of growth and was associated with the earth. Following her is June or Junius. She is identified with the Greek goddess Hera and is named in honor of the ancient Roman goddess Juno, the wife of Jupiter, and considered the patroness of marriage, and is further associated with the well-being of women. In Greek mythology, Hera was the daughter of Cronos and Rhea, wife of Zeus and queen of the ancient Greek gods. She too was the goddess of marriage and the family. In Roman, the word quintilis means fifth. One would think this indicates quintilis would therefore be the fifth month. However, in Roman, the word quintilis, yeah, it does mean fifth. Well, however, it's not the fifth month. The reason for this is the calendar year of the Romans originally began in March, not January, March. So the counting begins with March. The fifth month is therefore July, which used to be called Quintilis until it was renamed July to honor Julius Caesar. Likewise, August was Sextilis, or sixth, until it was renamed, of course, to honor Augustus. And September is based on the Latin for 7, October for 8, November 9, and December for 10. So that's where our names of the month come from. So number of goddesses there to associate with, and some Latin names mixed in there as well. But it's about that time for a break again. So when we return, we're going to explore why we have the amount of days in each month that we do. So let's break for a little Darn the Bard. And I know one of our listeners really loves Darn the Bard. So let's play his song, The Wheel. We'll be right back.
Rising tide. natural rhythms of the land. As the goddess takes my hand into the forest green with the horned time is drawing near. I see my lady smile at me. Inside I feel no fear. As she raises the scythe above her head, blood spills on the earth as I fall dead. In the other world I guard her throne till she returns.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You're listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Darn the Bard and his song, The Wheel. Again, you are listening to Visions of the Past on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. For a complete lineup of the shows airing on the network, and to learn more about our hosts, as just mentioned there, pop on over to spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry's website at revterrypowerhp.com. And we have Reverend Onyx's Lady of the Circle in the Oaks website at ladyofthecircle.org. Our shows air 7 days a week and at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Begin on Tuesday night with Reverend Terry's Power Hours with Reverend Terry Power. And on Wednesday night, we have Reverend Onyx climbing up on his soapbox with the Soapbox Witch. So you got to tune in, check that out. You never know what topic he's going to discuss or what opinions he's going to give on these topics. And then we get our two titans together in the ring once again for a main event with Reverend Terry Power and Reverend Onyx going at it or teaming up together for another episode of Under a Shady Tree. And then on Fridays, we have Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with Lisa and Robin. Always a good show. And then we have Lady of the Circle in the Oaks with Reverend Onyx again. And on Sunday, we bring in Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton and hosting her show, Sacred Divergence Radio. And then on Monday, you're back here for another episode of Visions of the Past with yours truly. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to tonight's episode and to those who listen to the archive. We are discussing the pagan history of the calendar year. Before the break, I mentioned that I'd discuss why we have the amount of days in each month that we do. Well, this has its origins, actually, in superstition. When Rome emerged as a world power, the difficulties of making a calendar were well known then, but the Romans complicated their lives because of their superstition that even numbers were unlucky, is why their months were 29 and 31 days long, with the exception of February, which had 28 days. However, 4 months of 31 days, 7 months of 29 days, and 1 month of 28 days added up to only 355 days. Therefore, the Romans invented an extra month called Mercedonius of 22 or 23 days. It was added every second year. Even with Mercedonius, the Roman calendar eventually became so far off that Julius Caesar, advised by the astronomer Sosigenes, and ordered a sweeping reform. By 46 BCE, on that year, was made into 445 days long, by his imperial decree, bringing the calendar back in step with the seasons. Then the solar year, with the value of 365 days and 6 hours, was made the basis of the calendar. The months were 30 or 31 days in length, and to take care of the 6 hours, every fourth year was made into a 366-day year, hence leap year. Moreover, Caesar decreed the year began with the 1st of January, not with the vernal equinox late in March. This is how started to get change from equinoxes to what we have today. By the 15th century, the Julian calendar had drifted behind the solar calendar by about a week, so that the vernal equinox was falling around the 12th of March instead of around the 20th of March. Sixtus the Fifth, who reigned from 1471 to 1484, decided that another reform was needed and called the German astronomer to Rome to advise him. Regiomontanus arrived in 1475, but unfortunately he died shortly afterwards, and the Pope's plans died with him. Then in 1545, the Council of Trent authorized Pope Paul III to reform the calendar once again. Most of the mathematical and astronomical work was done by Father Christopher Clavis. The immediate correction advised by Father Clavis and ordered by Pope Gregory the correction 13th was that Thursday, October 4th, 1582, was to be the last day of the Julian calendar. The next day would be Friday, October 15th. For long-range accuracy, a formula suggested by the Vatican librarian Olaiosis Giglio was adopted. Every fourth year is a leap year unless it is a century like, say, 1700 or 1800. Century years can be leap years only when they are divisible by 400, like 1600 or 2000. This rule eliminates 3 leap years in 4 centuries, making the calendar significantly accurate. Of the revised leap year rule, an average calendar year is still about 26 seconds longer than the Earth's orbital period. But this discrepancy will need 3,323 years to build up to a single day. The Gregorian reform was not adopted throughout the West immediately. Most Catholic countries quickly changed to the Pope's new calendar in 1582, but Europe's Protestant princes chose to ignore the Papal Bull, that's what it's called, and continued with the Julian calendar. It was not until 1700 that the Protestant rulers of Germany and the Netherlands to the new calendar. In Great Britain and its colonies, the shift did not take place until 1752, and in Russia, a revolution was needed to introduce the Gregorian calendar in 1918. In Turkey, the Islamic calendar was used until 1926. This definitely did not take place right away. It took hundreds of years. Despite its widespread use, the Gregorian calendar has a number of weaknesses. It cannot be divided into equal halves or quarters. The number of days per month is haphazard, and months and years may begin on any day of the week. Holidays' specific dates may also fall on any day of the week, and few Americans can predict when Thanksgiving will occur next year. since Gregory the 13th, many other proposals for calendar reform have been made, but none has been permanently adopted. In the meantime, the Gregorian calendar keeps the calendar dates in reasonable unison with astronomical events. Different input, but if origins of these months. And take the time, if you can, taking some time to observe the sunrise or the sunset. Or even looking up at the night sky. Remember the ancients and what they saw in those very same stars. That's where all this began. The very observance of the sun's track across the sky during daytime and the stars at night. What a better sight than taking the time to look up at the stars. That's what began all this. And it's their knowledge, their wisdom, and the mythologies they passed on that are very, very much still a part of our everyday lives. We look at it every day when we look at a calendar. Do try to keep that in mind. Doesn't matter what season it is. But I mean, it's New Year's now. Yeah, we're starting a new calendar year. But just think back where it all began. Our ancient ancestors looking up at the sky. Just think about that. You can't get a better picture than just relaxing. Just thinking about the sight that they saw. And all that's still a part of us today. So I'm going to leave you guys with that thought. And I do hope each and every one of you do have a happy new year. And all of your hopes for the new year come true. Again, if you have any comments at all, suggestions, or ideas, please feel free to post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. We are going to finish off tonight's show with a little, let's say, Castalia Alexandrian and her song, The Wheel in Its Turning. Good night, everyone, and may you always blessed be.
As winter snows melt and the earth now owns. sustains its height. Please gather nectar and dew from the blossoming flowers of the day. And Our Lady and Lord are wed, for the spirits thirst into the cauldron, and it flows both white and red. Ooh. First fruits are reaped in the field, and the sickle flies over the corn. Born, strength is failing, fading. He becomes the Lord of Night, and she shares with him the changes. Robed in black, face corpse white. She follows him down to darkness, to where the shadows dwell, embracing the Lord of the hidden seed and making heaven of hell. Ooh. Within the womb of night, the Lord of the hidden seed embraces the silent maid, the lance or the cauldron bleeds.
To the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.